Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening. It's A Good Story is a Good Story, and this is a great show tonight. It's all about ghosts, and we are having Willow Cross, and we are having Kimberly Burks Miller, and myself. Sandra will not be here, so I don't know if I'll the chat room. Maybe they'll be in it, but as always, everybody, it's a little hard for me to talk at the same time and do the chats. Okay, and I try, but it doesn't always work out real well. So, and you know, we'll see later if we'll take some calls, but we have so much to talk about. You know, and we'll see what happens. But it's going to be a great show tonight. It's not the usual time. It's an hour later. And most of us are night owls anyway, so I figured it's Friday night, so we might as well have a good time here, and it will be a great show tonight. And I'll just say a couple announcements in case I forget them before, later, and I probably will, about the shows. Tomorrow morning there's a show for those that want to get up at 8 in the morning, if you live central. It's a cute show. It's for kids. And it's they gather around and little children's books, you know, they read the children's books just for, it's just a short time. I was on actually with J.D. Hallett, and it was about, I think it's like 20 minutes, but it's 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, and it'll be a really cute show, and it always is. And so I think it will be fun, and I did figure out, I had my notes here, but I can't even read my own notes. So anyway, and then after that, oh, here it is. Porcupine Seeds is the name of the show. And let's see. And then Virginia's having World of Ink at 2 p.m. on Monday with Laura Smith. And I'm not having a show next Tuesday unless I can think of something I want to have. I'm trying to not have as many shows, but I'm sure by next week I'll figure out something. So I'm going to put, right now we're just going to bring out Willow and Kimberly. Hi. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. It's just the three of us tonight, and we're going to have a good time. Before we begin, I think, for those of those that you don't know Willow Cross and Kimberly, I'm going to let them say, you know, whatever they want about themselves. I'm Marcia Cook. I will say about myself, Marcia Cook, Michigan Avenue Media, and from the World of Ink Network, Virginia and I, we have the World of Ink Network, and I am also an agent, Marcus Bryant, and a writer. And, okay, Willow, you can go first. I'm done with you.
I'm Willow Cross. I'm the author of the Dark Gifts series, the Oceans of Red series, and I just started a new series called A Higher Calling. And you can find me on Facebook at Willow Cross Books. And Marcia is my agent, so
I forgot, right. Exactly right. We'll talk about that in a little while, too. Okay, Kimberly?
Okay, I'm Kimberly Burks Miller, and I'm the author of the Moon Coven series. I'm also the author of an upcoming ghost book called Ghosts from My Past, and several other YA books in the works. And I'm a writer, a wife and mother, and an ardent Ravens fan.
There you go. We've got a lot going on.
Sorry,
you
I had
have a lot of books
in there.
Between you. You have a lot of books between you. And, you know, actually today I was calling, you know, some of the producers today, and actually they are looking for a lot of young adult series books now, and so I think that's a good thing. You know, I'm trying to get the production companies to pay attention to the fact that after all these years of doing scripts, they don't like a lot of the scripts, so I'm suggesting, which I've had a couple options in the past for people's books, if they like the book, then they'll have someone write the script, and then everybody will be happy, rather than a lot of scripts. You know, a lot of people that write books don't write scripts. I do both. But it's not that easy to do both, and sometimes, I mean, I became a scriptwriter because I wasn't as descriptive as I needed to be, I thought, as a writer. And so I think for the production companies, if they like the book, they'll get, you know, whatever book it is and whatever, you know, topic that they want to do, I think it'll be much easier. So I'm trying to get them. I was talking to Inktip today, which is Inktip has been around for about 12 years. What they do is, it's actually going to be on our websites, and I talked to them today. There's producers in there, agents, managers, and a lot of people go in there looking, a lot of production companies go in there looking for scripts. There is a book section. It's just not huge yet. And I think that there a lot of people aren't used to going in it for books, but they are for screenplays. So I'm trying to see, maybe I'll get them on the show and they can talk about what they do, because they do have a lot of producers in there looking for different types of books. you know, it is hard these days to figure out what anybody wants in a movie. And so my advice to everybody is when they're writing books, just write the books that you like, because I don't think there's a clear-cut path of what anybody likes. So, you know, some of the top sellers in movies and that are grossing a lot, nobody would think, and some of the ones that they think would be aren't. So, you know, that's really what it's all about now, you know, with Hunger Games. And, I mean, they're always, you know, best-selling books, but I think that we're going to try to convince some of the production companies that this is the way to go, because after all these years, I kind of think it is the way to go. Okay, so then we're going to talk about ghosts now. Yes. Okay, we'll go right into this. Okay. Okay. All right, whichever one of you want to talk about them, we'll just talk, because you two are the experts on this. That's why we're on.
What should we talk about first, Lilo?
Well,
should we introduce the books that are coming out? And then
yeah,
go
sure.
Into
you have a book. One of the books has just come out. I mean, and your books, most of your books, I think, are they 99 cents on the Kindle?
Yes, most
yeah.
of mine are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
All but two are, as a matter of fact. My book, Haunted, is currently out, and that is 100% true ghost stories from a few of the haunted houses I've lived in. I have been lucky or unlucky enough to live in several haunted places, and it's hysterical because I see every so often I'll go read my reviews and I'll see people say, oh, that can't be true. Nobody can live in that many haunted places. Oh, yes, they can. I'm like a ghost magnet. It's terrible. And my book, and Haunted 2 is coming out in a couple of months, probably around Halloween. And this one isn't my ghost stories. It is ghost stories, true ghost stories still, but ghost stories that have been relayed to me from friends and people I know who've experienced living in a haunted house. So I'm excited about that.
You
and Kim, your books.
Because you're just saying, like, you live in a haunted house, just like matter of fact. That's like a big deal. The first time did you know that you were in a house like this? What happened?
The first time I realized it was haunted way before, like, the big event, but I had a roommate. It was my very first time out of my mom and dad's house, and she was all freaked out about being there, and as uncomfortable as she was, I was that comfortable being there. But it became, within a week or so, it became very clear that something not normal was going on, because there would be these weird bumps and bangs. A door would swing, not swing all the way open like somebody was coming in, but it would move a couple inches. And it always seemed to happen whenever, I got to be careful that I don't say her name.
Okay, no name.
It always seemed to happen when she was near her.
Really?
Like it was trying to scare her. And then, of course, there was this big, really scary event with her ex. And the ghost actually, I believe, saved our lives. I swear to you, the way things happened, the way it went, and that's all in Haunted. It's the first story in Haunted, by the way. The way things happened, I do believe that her ex, had he gotten into the apartment, would have either severely injured both of us or killed us. Because he was just crazy.
But you felt that? I mean, you felt, like when you first met him, did you feel that right away?
That
he had
well,
a vibe like that, or did you?
From him? Well, I didn't like him to start with because I already knew all the bad stuff about him before I met him. I mean,
oh, you did.
I was telling her way before that, you need to dump him and go. But it wasn't him. It was the ghost that lived in our house that saved us. And he just prevented him from entering. And when the cops got there and we got to see, he was banging. He was, like, throwing his body. I couldn't see what was going on, but it sounded like he was throwing his body against our door. And in the apartment house we lived in, have you ever been, like, I don't know what newer mobile homes are like, but old mobile homes have these, like, panel doors that are very, very thin. I don't think they're wood. I think they're like particle board or something, and they're very thin, almost made out of like paneling from the wall. And it was that kind of a door. And the door should have busted through. The locks should not have held. And it held until the cops got there to stop him.
Wow.
And when we got that door open and we got to actually see the outside of the door, there was nothing left of the outside of the door. It was just big, giant holes everywhere. So there was an eighth inch of paneling keeping him from coming all the way through in an apartment. And that's not even possible. I mean, logically, an eighth inch of panel is not going to keep a close to 300-pound man
from busting
through a door.
No.
So it had to be supernatural. And
wow.
We ended up moving out of there. She couldn't take living there anymore. She moved out, and I couldn't afford it by myself, so I ended up having to go home. But that was my first experience, and it was a good one because, you know, I felt like he saved my life. Now, the next one was not so friendly.
See, but did you ever talk to her afterwards now or never?
I have not seen her in 20 years. I have no idea where she is.
Wow. But you explained to her how you felt. But she didn't.
Yeah, and she couldn't comprehend it because she really, if I was working and she was not, we worked at the same place.
Uh-huh.
If I was scheduled and she was not, she could not stay there when I wasn't home.
Wow.
She couldn't stand to be there. It scared her so bad. But on the other hand, she could be gone. You know, she'd go stay at her boyfriend's every once in a while overnight or something. And
you were fine.
I was perfectly comfortable there, perfectly comfortable.
So this is how you started then. This is
it kind of felt like I was living with my grandpa, you know, because
wow.
It just kind of felt, it was just felt safe and comfortable for me, but she did not have the same experience, so.
It's interesting to hear how people get involved in this because sometimes, you know, I think sometimes people say like, oh, you know, they sometimes think people are a little off when they do these things, but these experiences happen to people.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's
it's not just one. I mean, tons of people have experiences like this. So how can it not be normal for the person? Because if they're feeling it, you feel what you feel.
Right.
But, Marcia, here's the thing, is that there are two, and this is my firm belief. This is Kimberly talking, by the way. This is my firm belief. There are two types of disbelievers out there, and I firmly believe this. The first one is, now I'm going to preface this with, my father is a Baptist preacher, okay? You have the Christian non-believers, that there's no way, because it's been beat into their heads, that it's a ghost. It's definitely demonic, no question.
Yeah.
Then you have the other disbeliever that, because I can't see a ghost and you can, it can't be true.
Yeah.
And they automatically.
How did your family react? How does your father react to this?
I think that my father, for a while, my dad is Irish and Native American Indian.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've ever heard, it's called the Path of Love.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's something that's passed down through Native Americans. And it goes from mother to son, son to daughter, and it's like, I'm not using this as a pun or to promote Willa's book, although I love it. It's kind of like a higher calling.
Yeah. Okay.
You're enlightened. You see things that you probably.
What's it called? Path of Love. It's called Path of Love.
It's called the Path of Love, and you see spirits. You see the dead, and I've seen them my entire life, and it's not abnormal for me. So it's not abnormal for me to see something and just walk right past it and say, okay, and just accept it. But I don't go out and tell people that I see it because people look at you and they're like, you're absolutely nuts. You are off your rocker.
Well, right, so then if you are, let's say, like if somebody in your life has passed on, do you see them or do you not see anybody related to you or it's just
no,
other
I have.
People? You
There's
have.
There's one story that's going to be in Ghosts from my past about my grandfather. My grandfather died. And this is a bad habit, so people out there listening, don't ever smoke. It's a bad habit. I was going to go get cigarettes, and I was in my aunt's car. My parents were at the hospital. I was 18 years old. My grandfather had passed away. I saw my grandfather on the side of the road and pulled over my aunt's car because I saw him when I walked in the house. I told her I think my grandfather had died. She just gave me a look. 10 minutes later, my parents came in, hysterically crying, and I knew when my mom died, which is the most traumatic death that I've experienced thus far in my life, the day that she died, we went to her house, which happened to be the day after my birthday. She held on for 7.5 hours
wow.
so that she wouldn't die on my birthday. She died April 3rd, 2001 from breast cancer. I walked in the door that evening after we had been there with the pastor and the family and everything. My husband and I had only been married a little over a year. We brought my youngest sister, my baby sister, Robin, home with us. We walked in the door. And you know how on the caller ID it'll come up, if somebody you don't know is calling, it'll come up unavailable.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
This did not come up unavailable. It came up with a bunch of dash lines.
Wow.
Instead of a number or unavailable, it was just dash lines all the way across it. I picked it up and had it on speakerphone, and I'm saying hello. And all three of us vividly heard my mother, "I'm fine, Kim. Stop worrying,
I'm
fine."
Oh, my God.
And I was crying to her, "Mommy, please, 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 please." And she just kept saying, "I'm fine," until she faded out, and you just heard a dial tone. People that hear that story, they say, "Oh, my God, that is, you're completely crazy." My youngest sister and my husband, who, just so that everyone knows, my husband works for the federal government. I cannot say which branch he works for, but he works for the federal government. He is not crazy.
Right.
He heard this just as well as I did.
Well, I don't really think these things, well, that's apparently why I'm having the show tonight, because I don't think it's crazy. But I do think, you know, and I do think that these things happen, you know. And I was watching some of the reruns of Dr. Oz. I taped some of them, and I don't always watch the show, and I stopped watching it, and then I started watching it, because sometimes, you know, I got so many things taped, I don't even want to watch half of the stuff anymore. But he had a psychic on. I swear, he was going so, like, insane. He just wanted to hear so much about this. He was so into it. I've not seen any. He just really, and because he deals with life and death all the time. And
right.
Because of how he, you know, of everything, he is a surgeon. But he really was just talking to you. And in the audience, he was absolutely in this conversation. And I don't think you can kind of fake it when you're on TV, like someone like him, because he's kind of like a person that just says what he thinks. And he was so... He was so interested in hearing all these stories. It really, the show was really good because he said, and he sat down like next to the person, goes, "Okay, talk more." He's like so. You know, so I do think a lot of people are interested, and even if they say they're not, they are sometimes. They just don't want people to know that they're interested.
Well, I'll say this. I live very close to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. I'm not sure how many viewers understand the significance of that. It was a major battle in our Civil War. In 1863, I have ghosts all around me all the time,
wow.
constantly. One of my stories was featured in a book, The Battlefield Dead by Elizabeth Matusiak, 10 years ago. And the people in Gettysburg that see these ghosts, they see them on a regular basis. They turn their heads and they won't say that they won't acknowledge it, because other people that have not seen it, that cannot see it, will call them crazy to their face. That's been my experience. And so I'm lenient. Tonight was like a first time, a big thing for me to, when Willow asked me to come on, it was a big thing for me to say okay,
because
I didn't want to put it out there. I mean, people already think that I'm crazy.
I do, but, you know, and I'm not doing that. But, you know, I mean, there's always people that think someone's crazy because they just don't get it, you know.
Right.
And it's not really that the person is crazy. It's just that the other person just doesn't get what they're doing.
No, I've been checked out, Marsha. I have totally been checked out. They said I'm not crazy.
No,
she's got documented paperwork.
There's far too many people that believe like this that it can't be true. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's not just. I mean, there's a lot of people that absolutely have these. You know, I mean, it's not a vision to them; it's reality. You know, and so when you see someone that you. You know, that actually, I don't know if you saw that show. There's a new show on last night. It's a medical show. It's something
Saving
with
Hope or something like that.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
He was having you know, I really liked the show because he was, it's the first show, but I guess he's going to be coming back talking about, you know, he's watching the other doctors, and he was kind of a doctor that was in such a hurry, didn't take time for patients. Now he's in the background watching. But I think it was really an interesting show because sometimes they make these medical shows lately. I mean, I worked for doctors for years and years, and I, you know, drew blood and cardiograms. That's what I did. And, I mean, it really isn't a joke, a lot of these things. And some of the shows now that they've had before, they just take situations that are kind of traumatic sometimes for a lot of people, and they make them too light. Because when something bad is happening to somebody in your family, it's not light.
No.
And this show was kind of like that. And he is talking. He's not dead, but he's in a coma. And it's very, and he's having, he says, it's like, you know, he's having this experience. He knows he is, but he's, you know, and I think the show is really good. So I think that people in Hollywood now, because I've noticed that some of the things that they do, they're bringing in more angels and all of this stuff. Because I think even, and no matter who, everybody wants to believe if somebody is sick, there's somebody watching them. I mean, I think this is just, even if they don't say it, I think they believe it. You know, they want to believe.
Willow and I were just talking about this. They have a show. If you've noticed that the acceptance for ghosts has become larger since Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, all of these different shows have come out. But there's a new one that's Celebrity Ghosts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That the celebrities are coming out and telling their ghost stories.
Oh, really?
Willow and I were talking. We were actually talking about this earlier today.
Yeah. Because they're, whoever's writing them has to believe. You know, it's kind of like you can't, some things you that are fairly authentic to somebody naturally as the both of you, you can't have a TV show anymore where it's some of it isn't an authentic that's happened to people because people don't stand for that anymore. You know what I mean? They don't want, you know, if they believe in that, they don't want it to be like a show that's not, you know, intellectually stimulating. And actually, that's why it was last night because, you know, he stepped back and he's watching everybody, and then he walked down the hall and somebody that had just died in the show, he saw that person.
Yeah.
And so I think that maybe, you know, that we really don't know sometimes if you're looking at someone. I mean, I think the last show we had somebody, I think, Willow, you might have answered that for me too, because I thought when I was having a dream, you said, were you awake or were you sleeping?
Right.
And it gets stuck in my mind.
Because there are, and here's another thing to consider while we're talking ghosts, and obviously I'm a firm believer in ghosts. You're not going to talk me out of it. I've seen them. There's no way anybody's going to ever talk me out of believing in them. However, you also need to take into consideration when you're having some experiences that a lot of times there are logical, natural explanations for things that don't have anything to do with ghosts.
Yes.
And a lot of these things, I'll use Jason and Grant's word, can be debunked if you take the time to check it out. And this is where I get a little irritated with people who won't believe. And I, by the way, I'm married to someone who won't believe.
Yeah.
He refuses to. And he heard several different things. One night in the house that I talk about in Dream House, one night we were laying in bed, and, you know, we have a whole bunch of kids, and we distinctly heard a little girl crying. He distinctly heard his little girl crying. I distinctly heard my little girl crying, and they did not cry the same, and there's about 10 years difference in their age.
Yeah.
We both jumped out of bed, went running through the upstairs. Nobody was upstairs, so we headed downstairs trying to figure out which kid was crying and what was going on. Yeah. Everyone was downstairs on the living room floor with pillows and whatnot, sound asleep. They'd fallen asleep watching movies. Nobody was awake. We got a drink, went back upstairs. I walk into the bedroom. He's right behind me. We no sooner step foot in that bedroom than we hear this little girl crying. And just like on the right before we'd gone downstairs, he heard his daughter. I heard mine. But this time I could tell it was coming from our closet. I went over, turned the knob, opened the door, and it stopped. There was nothing. It dead silence. And I turned around and looked. Of course, I had goosebumps everywhere. And I said, "You heard that, right?" And he says, "It was the TV." I said, "The TV's on mute.
Right.
You heard that."
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I've been telling you this house is haunted, and he just laughed at me. He said, "This house isn't haunted. There's some logical explanation for that." Really? Because generally, you don't hear little girls crying in your closet for no reason whatsoever, unless you've stuck a little girl in your closet.
Yeah. Right.
So, which, by the way, is child abuse. Don't stick your kids in your closet.
Right. Not a good thing. We're not an advocate.
But he's still, I mean, to this day, when I talk about that house, he'll roll his eyes and he'll say whatever, and he heard it. And so some people, you can't talk them into it. I think a ghost would have to come up and sit on their lap, and they would still try to find a logical explanation, and they don't want to believe it.
Yeah. I think sometimes there isn't always an explanation for everything that happens. You know, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that want to believe that every time something happens, though, but some things just happen, and we don't really
right.
know sometimes. It might mean something for later, or, you know, we don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
Right. Right.
Do you hear, do you feel like in your house when you're there, do you feel that there's people there when you're there?
I
in
have
your
people
house
in my house right now.
And they're not really people. They're there. They're in your house.
No, they were people. They're spirits of people, but they're here.
Yeah, they're
I have. I was on the phone with Willow earlier. What was it, like around 5:30 my time, Willow?
Uh-huh.
It's usually right around the same time, anywhere between 5 and 6 p.m. East Coast time, that an old man in suspenders will start in my kitchen, and he'll walk to my living room, and then he fades out when he gets to my living room. Every single day, without fail, he walks from my kitchen to my living room, and then he fades away. And that's what you call a residual haunt. He's here.
Right.
He doesn't know that we're here.
Residual haunt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He has no clue that I'm here. He has no interaction with me whatsoever. He just walks from one place to the other, and that's it. Now, I do have a little girl in my house that will play, and she likes to play. I was on the phone with Willow one time, and one of her daughters, there was an issue going on, and I could hear the little girl in the background going, "I like to watch you." And I'm like, is your daughter singing? Is she, like, singing? And she asked her daughter, and her daughter's like, yes. I could hear the spirit through the phone.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to tell you, I have my kids, some of them, not all of them, are very sensitive to the supernatural, some of them.
The one is, I was going to say, very sensitive. She's
very
sensitive.
One is very sensitive, and Kim and I were on the phone, and she came back and got me. She was absolutely terrified. And I can't get her to just accept this, and this is just the way it is, and, you know, it's going to be this way, and you're either going to have to learn to deal with it or learn to block it out. And she came back just terrified, and she says, "Mom, I think there's a ghost in my room," which, of course, I laughed at her, and I shouldn't. But this isn't a haunted house. But from time to time, we get a visitor, and I think that it's because they follow her home. I think that's what it is. And so I walked back to her bedroom, and I stepped in that bedroom, and I'm telling you, it felt like the temperature dropped 10 degrees. It was freezing in there. And this was in the spring. It was warm here. And I said, what happened? And she said, I was dancing, and all of a sudden...
No, she hadn't said that yet. You started to walk back there.
Oh, yeah. There was a loud clap behind her head.
There was a clap, and then I heard the little girl giggle, and then she said that she enjoys watching Summer perform. And I asked you, ask her if she's singing. Ask her what she was doing, because this girl is saying she likes to watch her. And she asked Summer. Summer couldn't hear me. We weren't on speakerphone. Willow asks her, and she's like, yeah, that's what I was doing. I'm like, because she enjoys watching you.
Wow.
I'm convinced that Willow's daughter is one of the most sensitive mediums I have ever seen in my life.
But do you think that if she ignores it, it will go away, or eventually
no.
she'll
oh,
take
it? It
no.
won't go away, but you can learn to block it out. I mean, you get... Some people can't. Some people are such strong psychics that there is no shutting it down. People that have a modest ability can learn to just tune it out. It's no different than if you're a mom and you have kids and your kids are running and yelling and playing and squalling through the house. You learn to tune that out. And you can still watch a TV show or read a book
right.
or do whatever
right.
you need to
right.
do because you've
tuned otherwise
it out.
You're never going to do anything right now.
Right, right. And it's sort of the same process. You just learn to tune it out. Now, there's some people that just can't do it.
I'm one of those. I can't. I'm
of the mindset that tuning it out is not necessarily a good idea.
Yeah.
I think we're all given whatever gifts we have for a reason. And whatever that reason is, I mean, I can't tell anybody what a reason is for being given
right.
a gift
so,
like
that,
but it's there for
really.
Something.
Right, everybody's got their
and,
own. Right.
And it's better to accept it than to live in fear and terror. You know, I some things are just scary. There are some things that are not human spirits. And
yeah.
it's terrifying when you encounter something like that. And that is not something you should tune out. If you have the ability to sense
or take
that,
lightly.
You should run. That's what I had
yeah.
somebody send me. Somebody sent me an email a while back and said, you know, listen, I think I've got this diabolical spirit in my home, and what should I do? And I said, move. And I wasn't joking. That's not
move?
Something to play around
move?
With.
Did they move?
No, I don't know if they moved or not. I just told him, I said, listen, my best advice is to pack your stuff and go. No house is worth that kind of torment. No house. I don't care how gorgeous it is and how much you paid for it. File bankruptcy. It's not worth it.
Now,
because that will destroy you and your family and everyone that comes in contact with it.
Now, do you think in Hollywood how they portray things, is it right, or do they just, I mean, are they missing things?
Oh, my God, I think they glorify things and glamorize things. What, when it comes to demonic possession, I think that they don't have it. I mean, here's my thing, is that Will and I were talking about this earlier. There's a few things with this whole thing that I have an issue with. One is Hollywood. If you don't have a medium that actually has seen a demon, you cannot portray it correctly because a demon is not horned. It is, I mean, it may be in the other realm. It is not here. It will take on the form of your mother that has passed over to gain your acceptance, to gain trust from you because it wants to possess you. If you can see it, it totally wants to possess you. You're more powerful than the host that it's possessing right now.
So do you think when they did, when Arquette did, when they did Medium, the show, I'm sure I think her first name, Arquette, but she's great.
Oh, is it Susan Arquette or something like that?
No, I think they had that pretty, that was pretty good. That
yeah,
was
I really
actually,
liked that. I did like that.
Yeah.
So do you think that it probably happened with her, that she could, because she really portrayed that role. I mean, it was really good.
Yes, she did a really good job,
Patricia.
I thought.
It's Patricia Arquette. And I thought she was really good in it. I mean, it's like you almost feel like it was hip. I mean, you know, so I'm wondering.
I don't
maybe
know if she would come forward and say whether or not she had actually experienced things or not, but I can tell you what, her emotions on that show blew me away, as opposed to, and I'm a huge Jennifer Love Hewitt fan.
Yeah.
Ghost Whisperer, I love that show. I love that show just because it's a very heartfelt, heartfelt kind of show, and I'm the more young adult writer, so I don't get into the graphic stuff too much.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that show for that potential, but Medium was more dead on to me. It really was.
Yeah, see, I really liked
it. I mean, because you see things in that perspective. When I see ghosts, I don't always see them how they were in life in beautiful flowing gowns. You are going to see them with their face half ripped off, with a gunshot wound to their chest. You're going to see them, and if they have a message to get across to you, they want to get it across to you.
Right. So that's
and
the show,
they don't
that's
care
the
how they look to you.
Right. Because the show was almost like you felt like when they were doing it. I mean, maybe the writers were, you know, because you can't, you know, it really
somebody
felt
that
real.
Was affiliated to that show knew or
right.
had
okay.
been a medium of some sort. Somebody had to be with the writing the way that it was.
Yeah. Because I think it was really good writing. I mean, it was like you, every week that you watch, I mean, you really felt like her pain in it.
Yeah.
You know, because it was pain for her, because sometimes when she didn't know what it meant till she finally figured it out, it just didn't seem fake. You know, it felt like these were stories that you just don't make up, you know. Because sometimes, as a writer,
I
think you notice that sometimes when in the writing.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you this. This is one of the things that I get aggravated with when I go on, because, and I will tell you all right now, I am such a Goodreads stalker. It's not even funny. It's serious. I will stalk all of your books, just so you guys know that now.
Yeah.
I stalk everybody's books, and it upsets me with Haunted, because I've heard the stories firsthand. I have heard the emotion in her voice when she's retelling me these stories. I know the emotion firsthand, and it's not something that there are other, I want to phrase this delicately.
Okay.
just because I just want to phrase this delicately. There are other authors that I have read that they write splendid books. They are absolutely splendid. However, I know after experiencing it firsthand,
yeah,
listening to it firsthand from Willow and from others, that they have no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
They have not experienced it, but they're selling it as a fiction book, a nonfiction book, as a fact book, and it can, there's no way, there's absolutely no way. And
because
I see the reviews on Haunted, and she has, more amazing reviews than not. But there are some people that are like, I can't believe, you know, that, I mean, it wasn't gruesome. Every story that you have, every haunting that you have is not going to be gruesome. I understand that you guys out there want to see the zombie apocalypse. And you, I guess what you guys are waiting for from a ghost book is Poltergeist. That is not every ghost story.
Yeah, right.
Right.
That's just like, we were talking about this earlier. I have a severe issue with this.
Okay.
I am a very firm believer. No one will ever convince me otherwise that there are not ghosts. No one will ever convince me that there are not angels and demons. It won't happen.
Yeah.
But I have an issue with evidence. When you show me a picture and you're showing me orbs,
mm-hmm,
okay, I'm going to look at it. And I'm going to critique it honestly. And there was one person who had a picture, and it was raindrops. It was raining when they were taking the pictures, and I asked, is it raining? It's raining. Okay, well, those are raindrops. That's not orbs. You literally have to, in Grant's words, I guess we're going to go with the Ghost Hunters theme tonight. So in quotations, we're going to debunk this. That's it's raindrops. You cannot prove otherwise because it was raining that night.
Well,
they're EVPs. Go ahead.
Talking about debunking, one of my children, who's grown and lives on her own now, sent me a Facebook message of a picture that she had snapped in her house on her cell phone. And it looked very much like there was a partial, like a head and some shoulders behind her washer and dryer peering out.
Wow.
Between the two people she'd taken a picture of or around the side of them. And she was all freaked out. My apartment's haunted. What am I going to do? And I'm looking at it, and my initial instinct, of course, was I got chills because, wow, it looked like a person there. But it was a little tiny, because, you know, cell phones take these little bitty pictures.
Yeah.
So I flipped it over to Picnic, which isn't there anymore. I miss Picnic. And I blew it up. And I blew it up so I could really take a good look at it. And, you know, in that little tiny thumbnail picture, it looked like a ghost. But when you blew it up and you could look at it, it was a sweatshirt laying over a Downy bottle that was sitting on top of her dryer.
But you couldn't see it, so you blew it up.
But the way the Downy bottle was and the way the sweat, it looked like dark hair and dark shoulders, and it looked like there was a face. Maybe it was,
and then actually in the picture sometimes, isn't that clear sometimes that you can't see?
No, a Downy bottle, Marsha, is going to be a Downy bottle.
It was a sweatshirt and a Downy bottle. But see, this is where evidence, where people start questioning, and they very well should. Our brains are mapped out to find patterns. That's why we can see shapes in clouds. That's why you can look at a potato chip and see the face of Jesus, because our brains are trained to find patterns. So when you're looking at something that doesn't make sense, you immediately, your brain, whether it's conscious effort or not, will find a pattern in whatever it is you're looking at.
And that's the same thing, though, with EVP.
I can believe that, because when you're saying, when you look in the sky, sometimes you do sometimes think you see something, you are really
mm-hmm.
seeing something, maybe. Because you do,
well, your brain
maybe.
Putting it
yeah.
together. Because your brain's
sometimes,
putting that together for you.
Sometimes
there really is something there to see, but sometimes you're just making a pattern. I mean, I have a popcorn ceiling. Kim and I were talking about this morning. I can lay on my bed and look at my popcorn ceiling, which I do frequently because when I'm trying to work out some, like if I'm stuck in a scene or something, I just lay and zombify and stare at the ceiling. And inevitably, I will see faces in my popcorn ceiling. And there's no faces in my ceiling. It's just my brain focusing on the dots and making a pattern out of it, trying to recognize a pattern.
Is it not there? Okay.
It's your mind that's trying to put something together for you to make sense of something that it doesn't make sense at first.
Okay.
Now, we're not saying that there are not pictures that people will post that are actual ghosts, because there are. Real quick, before I forget, I'm looking onto the chat room real quick,
yeah.
And Lindsay Kendall wanted to say,
I told her,
hi, Marcia.
Hi.
I told her to give me a second.
Yep. Is she coming back on? Where is she?
She's in the chat room.
Yeah, because I know, I saw her and I said, like, what time is it there? It's really late there, you know.
Well, she said to tell you hi, so I told her to give me a second.
Hello,
I want to make sure that you got a chance to say hi to her.
Yeah, because I saw her.
That's the same thing that we were talking about earlier with EVPs. There are some clear-cut EVPs out there, and for those that don't know, that's electronic voice phenomenon. If you turn on a digital voice recorder and you start asking questions, you could get responses back. And there are some responses, Marcia, that will come out so clearly. I mean, absolutely clearly, there is no straining. But then you have some people that they're so desperate to hear things that you hear just white noise and you're straining and they're like, I heard, hi, Dad, I love you in there. And I'm like, I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty good about hearing those things. I don't hear anything. So we're just telling everybody.
Ask Lindsay, because her book is,
because
Lindsay has a book, Bloodlines, and it's a very good book, and, you know, and she actually is my client also, you know, and, you know, I'm wondering what she's thinking. Is she on the chat room of what she's thinking about what we're talking
about
right now?
It's 3:40 a.m. right now for her. She just posted, it's 3:40 a.m., just so we all know. And people are telling her, wow, Lindsay.
Yeah,
that's dedication for her to hang with us right now.
I know, mm-hmm. I know. I appreciate it. You know what? Because it's true. We are. You know, like a lot of us are this way. I mean, you know, that's our pattern. Our pattern is to stay up late. And, you know, it's kind of like we think we're going to miss something if we go to bed. That's what it is. My mother used to say that. She said, you can go to sleep. You know, you're not going to miss anything. But it's kind of like you feel like, you know, the day you need a long day. And it is a long day when you're up at that time. You know, the immediate world is not up that late. I mean, most people are not up that late. You know, a lot of us writers are.
But in this business, you kind of have to be, because things can happen in a blink of an eye. I mean, and people don't realize that Facebook is like one of the central hubs that we find out all of our information.
Yeah.
And in the blink of an eye, nothing can be going on Facebook. It can be completely quiet. And then all of a sudden, things are going crazy.
Yeah. It's life, though. I mean, see, because that's the thing, and that's one of the things I always say. It's like you don't really know what's going to happen the next day, so you really have to enjoy this day. Instead of worrying about what's going to happen like 2 weeks from now, we might not know. Who knows what's going to happen in 2 weeks?
Right.
You ruin every day by worrying about something that may or may not happen, and the day you're living in
right.
is not the day that you're happy. I mean, that's a lot of people don't believe that way, but I kind of do because, unfortunately, I've lost a lot of people in my life, and I see that one day you're here, one day you're not. And it's still, for me, I mean, like, you're talking about ghosts, and I kind of understand it because it's very difficult for me, as even an adult, to understand how kids even understand one day you're here and the next day you're not. It just doesn't make, like, sense, you know, and what happens in a day? I mean, you could die, and then you are here. Like, you're saying that maybe these people are here, and they are. To you, they are. So that's why I think, as talking about TV, is that I think there are a lot of people now because these things are actually coming out in a good way on the shows.
I think more and more people are starting to open up and say, I remember when I was 10 years old and I stayed at my friend's house and this thing happened or that thing happened and it was really scary. And they're starting to talk about it more because it's becoming more of a commonly accepted thing. I'm trying to remember, and I probably have my dates wrong, but I think it's like back in the 40s, back when all the metaphysical stuff was huge, there was two very distinct factions. There was the believers that went to all the mediums and stuff, and And then there were the non-believers that were totally against it. And back then, I think now it's even more commonly accepted than then. And it got pretty big back then. There's a whole town. Where's that town, Kim? There's a whole town that's nothing but psychics, and they moved there back
somewhere. Now, that has to be a weird place to live, though. I got to tell you, that might be.
Oh,
I
know.
Everybody
reading
each other's thoughts. Reading each other's thoughts. I mean, that's...
I wouldn't want to live there. Can you imagine? Because if they're all for real and they all really can read minds.
Yeah.
But then there's another thing that we haven't broached yet, is that the difference between the real, the people that are really psychic, the people that really can speak to the dead, and the people that can't. Yeah. I get so aggravated. People that are listening to me now, if you are on my fan page and you don't believe in truth, please leave. Seriously, please leave, because I'm a very firm believer in truth and just what the way that things are. I have seen so many people in the past 2 months be taken by scam psychics, scam mediums.
Yeah.
There are mediums that can read you. They'll read your expression when you say, they'll start fishing. You've lost someone in your past, and it's a... And you're like looking, you're leaning forward because you want to know that it's your child that's gone, your mother that's passed. And so they feed off of those.
Right, yeah.
Those type of bottom feeders, seriously, if any of you are on my fan page, go ahead.
Well, how would they be able to tell? Okay, you know, I mean, to the average person.
It's very much like reading. Have you ever seen a con person? And I'm going to not say any names, Marshall.
Okay.
I'm going to not say any names.
Okay.
There are some publishing companies that are shark, fake,
horrible
charlatans out there.
Yeah, I know.
And they can sucker you in the beginning. Oh, they can give you a beautiful line. You're going to have this, 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 and this. And that's not what you get.
I know.
But they can give you that beautiful line at the beginning. That's how these people, these fake mediums and psychics, that's how they operate. It's like that. They feed off of your emotions. Because whether you realize it or not, when I say to you, Marsha, I'm sensing a spirit, and I think it's a woman. And if you're looking at me and you're giving me a certain look, I know that it's your mother. But if you're, and I go on based on your age too.
Yeah.
If you're very young, then it's probably your grandmother.
Yeah.
So there are certain ways that they read people, and they do this, and they bilk them for money, and I think it's disgusting.
Yeah,
I
absolutely agree with you. And because unfortunately, what's happened to this world? I mean, when you're saying the truth, I think people should really kind of think about things and look for people that are honest, because there's a lot of people out there that are not. And I think, you know, I get emails all the time. You got to be on this. You got to do this, and this is going to cost you $400, and you can go on a radio show. And you know, and I said, do you know that I have a radio show? They want to give me a break, and they want to, you know, they're going to put me on a radio show. I go, oh, really? And they check me out, and they think that my books, I said, well, if you check me out, then you should know that I have a radio show, you know. And the thing is, they charge a lot. They charge like hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And, I mean, that's one of the reasons I've said it before, that I like doing the show, because I would much prefer to give people the truth than not, because I think that they need to hear it. You know, it's sometimes really bad when people get taken, and you know, and they're in, and when you ever hear that they say the last dime, and sometimes people will take someone's last dime, and that's horrible.
They will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that's,
you're right. You're absolutely right.
Somebody said to me, and again, I won't mention any names because I'm not allowed, but there was somebody who said something to me and private messaged me a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't been very much on Facebook. At all, because I'm trying to get my computer went up in flames. My laptop went up in flames on Monday.
Ooh,
we had huge storms out here on the East Coast, and we had a power surge. So Harvest Moon was completely written, ready to go over to my editor, and my computer just kind of set on fire. So for the past couple of weeks, I've been pretty much off of Facebook. But I check my messages, and someone had asked me about who I affiliated with on Facebook online, who they had watched me running in certain circles. And let's face it, we all run in certain circles on Facebook. It's just the way that it's going to happen. And they said that they noticed that I didn't run with certain people. And I said, here's my thing. I may never make it huge, Marsha. I may never make it on the big screen.
Right.
Okay? And that's fine. But my stories are honest, genuine, and original, and that's it. And I can't be more proud of myself.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because the truth is, you know, everything can't be about
money.
That's why Virginia and I have her show. You know, Virginia and I, and Bennett Pomeranz also joins us on the show with What is Success, because really it isn't always about money. I mean, people really think that is, but it's really at the end of the day, it's not. You know, if you're really not happy when you look in that mirror at that person that you see, I mean, then that's bad. You have to look in the mirror and be happy with who you are.
But there's certain people, Marshall, that can look in the mirror and they can see something that we don't see, because they can sugarcoat and glaze that mirror really well.
I wish I could do that.
I have completely said, please, just leave. There are people, and I will say this to everybody listening, you will not find a more genuine person than Willow. You will not.
No,
Willow will sit on the phone and tell me.
No, Willow
she will
is,
tell
you know,
me
I'm
no, don't
you
do that.
I'm going to tell you something. Willow offered to do, I've never met Willow in general, you know, but we've talked a lot lately. But
I get
you
in July.
Well, I just, so far I didn't sign up. I keep saying I'm going, right? You know, because I'm not Miss Flyer. You know, I'm not the one that. But you know, the thing is
that's what Valium's for, Marsha.
Yeah, right. No, that's true. Like, you know, it's because Willow offered to do some things for me and free. I mean, and I do a lot of work free, and very few people do that. You know, I know Virginia does a lot of free things, and I know that Fran Lewis. But I mean, the people I've met in the circles. I mean, it's some of the circles that I've met. I am so happy that I've met a lot of these people, because I was talking about it yesterday. A lot of us would never have met, ever. And that's one good thing about Facebook that I like, is because I get to meet all different kinds of people and learn so much from everybody, because we all grew up differently, but we're in this kind of, we're all writers, and we're in this, and, you know, I've never liked writers group per se, because I don't like to read my work and have everybody say, well, this, where's the comma, where's this, where's that? I just, you know, and that's why the thing about Facebook is everybody is kind of, you know, nice to each other and trying to, you know, help each other. And I think that's a good thing. That is the one thing that Facebook has done, is made a lot of friendships out of the people that we've all met. And I think that's a good thing.
I've met three authors that if I wouldn't have met them, my life would be drastically different right now. Willow Cross, she taught me, and there are dedications in the front of my books for these authors. Jen Wright, who has taught me how to market myself properly. Willow Cross, who has taught me how to not tell as much as I show. J.H. Glaze, who will go out of his way for anyone, anytime. Willow, as a matter of fact, there are 10 novellas for the Moon Coven series. She did every single one of the covers.
Yeah.
I have all 10 of those covers. She did every single one of them.
No, I know, this is true. This is true. And honestly, you don't really meet a lot of people like this. And I feel fortunate, and I say that a lot. And, you know, because Virginia and I, somebody said, you know, how did I meet Virginia? We met, I had an ad out. I was doing a Red River show, and Virginia applied for the ad. And she on the phone, and I never talked to anybody else. I said, fine, because I needed someone to be on the phones with me. We were in Red River, and this April said, put it out. So I did. And I put it out, and I never even talked to any. After I talked to her, I said, that's it. This is who's going to do it. We've been doing them for 2 years, you know. But it's kind of weird how this all happened. And she's in Utah. So it's like, I've had shows where people say, like, don't you guys all know each other? You know, Sandra Elwood, we're all on here. Bennett was on a show, and Candy O'Donnell. We were all, and it's kind of like, we all, like most of us that are writers, have friends that are not writers in our other life. And they don't even know what we're talking about. They just go, okay, you know, and I'm listening. Some of my friends who are, you know, were reading all these, like, very intense romance books, they're like, you know, I said, really? And, you know, they say, you should read this. I said, I know these people. I've met people that do this. You know, and it's like, they're shocked because, you know, the Shades of Grey, and they're all, everybody's reading that. I said, I've had these people on my shows, and I always say I like the romance, and I like the thriller and the horror people. You know, I've never met a lot of these people, but we have great conversations. And so we are a whole crew here, because the thing is that our own regular friends, they really don't know this. I mean,
I was going to say, I don't think that they could handle us.
Probably
I don't think they can handle it. If we have outside friends.
Yeah, right.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Just because I'm looking in the chat room.
Okay.
And just, like, peering in there.
Yeah.
L.M. Preston, you're the reason why my son is reading again. I love you. Sabrina, you're my soul sister. And Kat Miller, she is another up-and-coming. Jen Davis, who is one of Willow's admins. My God, that child works her butt off. But I wanted to say this because there's a guest in there, and I'm not sure if it's Jessica, and she's just being really quiet because she just private messaged me.
Yeah.
She sent me a letter in my post in my P.O. box. I'm going to cry. Her dad, she's 16 years old, her dad died. She in Afghanistan, and she read Haunted Moon, and she said that it gave her something that she had been lacking because of family-wise. So if that's you in there, one of the guests, Jess, I love you, and you have a package that's going to be coming to you as a surprise, sweetheart. Keep your head up and know that your daddy's watching you from heaven.
Yeah, it's so hard. At a young age.
Kisses and hugs, sweetheart.
Yeah.
It broke my heart when I read this letter, Marcia, for an hour. I told Willow for an hour. I sat here and cried on the floor because this child is 16 years old, and we take so much. We're just like, oh, my gosh, we have deadlines to do, and we have interviews that we have to do, and we have this that we have to do. This 16-year-old child lost her father, and her world is shattered, and that is so much more.
Yeah, because very young, it is traumatic.
Yeah,
you know, but,
it is so much more than what we have going on, so...
Yeah,
that's
why we do what we do, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess I can't speak for everybody else, but that's why I do what I do. I want to entertain.
You make
that's
me
why
cry
my,
when you write, Willow. What are you talking
paranormal. All my stuff is paranormal for a reason. I don't want to write about what's going on in the world right now. I want to be able to take people away from what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
Give
Wait a minute.
Them
I have a question
hours
to ask Marcia.
Of entertainment.
I think that's
I have a
true.
Question to ask Marcia. Marcia, have you read A Higher Calling yet?
I have it on my list. You know what? You know, every time
that's
I go
terrible
online,
you put her on the spot.
Every time it,
no,
I
don't mean
whole,
to put you on the spot. I'm just
no,
wondering
I'll tell
if
you, it's
read...
so funny that you said that because now I have all the things. And I actually got the book. But I, you know how they say on Kindle, I
if anybody comes after Marcia because she's got a long TBR, I will hurt any one of you. I will tell you right now. So you'll have to fight me.
So what happens is I keep buying that when I buy a book, they go, you've already bought that book. I have all these books. That's why I'm actually not working for the next couple of weeks. I want to read everybody.
Well, no, I know that you're
read,
her
I did
agent
read
for optioning.
Things.
I know that you're her agent for movie optioning, and I wanted to tell you on the air, because I want to make sure that we discuss this too, but I wanted to make sure I told you this as well.
Okay.
I got, when this was, it was called Nephilim at first, her working title was, and I was completely honored to read and beta read for her. And
yes,
I have never seen Willow so excited about working on something
life. I'm so happy. You know, I'm hoping this all goes for everybody. You know, because I think the thing is, though, that we all have to figure out is that, you know, really, you know, selling books and all of this and the movies, I really hope that sincerely mean this, that they actually want to make some of these movies because, you know, they really need to have movies out there that people really want to see. You know, there's a lot of movies out there, and I used to go to a lot of movies, and it's horrible now. I mean, there's really not a lot of movies to see. And, you know,
well,
there's
a lot of them that have really bad endings now that they're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
And that was just horrible. But this is what I wanted to say about Higher Calling, is that in the first Word document page, and I don't know how that's going to be for Kindle pages for you guys out there listening, but when she stands up, there's a certain line that Sophie stands up and says, and she says, I am Nephilim, and when she does, in my head, Pat Benatar was playing in the background, and my fist was raised going, girl power! It was amazing. It was one of those moments in life that you'll never get back.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, empowerment, right, for women.
Yeah.
You know, it's huge, you know. I mean, and it's really, you know, unfortunately, you know, I think I mentioned this on another show, is that I had a client that now she has a mentor, and so she's really, I really like her a lot. And she was saying that her mentor was saying that, you know, most of the time the lead, now they definitely want the lead in all these movies to be a male figure. And it's not that many women can actually hold a movie which is which should be changing, hopefully someday.
Well,
you know?
I don't. I see. Okay.
No,
yes.
No, I know.
Make people mad.
Willow, you know how we feel.
I don't think it's that they can't do it. I think they won't give them
but
the
chance.
Exactly.
They can definitely do it, of course. Because
I'm telling you,
Sandra Bullock can handle the lead
in any movie she plays in. I am a huge Sandra Bullock fan. She can do anything.
Who?
And there's a lot of those women in Hollywood.
Who'd you just say? I didn't hear that.
Who, me?
Yeah, who you said a star. Who was it?
Oh, Sandra Bullock.
Oh, she's
prime example. She can handle the lead in any movie. She can carry a movie by herself.
Yes, she can. And you know what? And Angelina Jolie has done it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Charlize Theron.
I mean, there's a bunch of them. And there's a bunch of new young ones coming up. That,
you know, Ashley Judd, she did movies, and she really could handle the lead. And then she had her show, and now it's being canceled. You know, I mean, I think that this is really, you know, because a lot of times, you know, now I think that Lifetime is changing a little because, as I was talking to the production company today, we were talking about that. Lifetime changes a lot of different roles. And now, you know, hopefully they'll get on something with stronger women because I do think, you know, women are very strong. We all agree with that. And I think that they are not portrayed, they don't have as many movies that they should because they're so worried about the box office, you know. And I think that women can hold the lead. There's no doubt about it. And empowerment,
I'm so tired. I know this is way off the topic of Ghosts. And I'm sorry for everybody that came just to hear about Ghosts. But I'm so very tired of seeing women portrayed as the damsel in distress and the victim and having to be protected and unable to pick up a gun and shoot a zombie in the head. I mean, come on, people, really? If my kid was in danger, I could shoot down as many zombies as I had bullets for.
Women, you know, in general, women, we do so much. I mean, we really do. We could do 10 things at one time because we have to, and that's just how it goes. So I do think that hopefully Hollywood will listen and pay attention to the women out there that want more strong woman characters. And I think there is an audience for that, and I think they would fill the theaters. I just think the reason
they
don't...
But I think it's shifting. I mean, don't you feel that, Marcia, the shift in it? Because the things that are coming out now are more female-dominated roles. And if you look at things in the real light, and this is one of my big things, so everyone who's in the chat room now, everybody who's in there that I can see, they know this. I have, like, a big thing that I say is, when you get back from Never Never Land, come back and visit me in reality and tell Tinkerbell and Peter Pan I say hi. Because women...
Yeah, I know.
Or we can do it all. We do it all. We give life to children, and we cook dinners, and we manage schedules, and we take children here and there. We do it all. We are literally, without capes, without red crimson boots, we are superheroes.
Yeah. No, I know. And I didn't
she was a mother.
Because I know.
I have a
Willow sent me an email on that.
You do, honey.
She's going to send it to me, I think, and I think we should try to get, definitely, I agree with you. I think we should, this is why I'm doing this, because I really don't give up, you know, years ago I made a decision not to, but that's why I always tell people, you know, when kids are little, I didn't really know that I would be the type that not to give up, because when I was a kid, I just kept trying new things, and I didn't care, but as an adult, I do not want to stop writing, so I continue to write regardless, you know, of how much I sell and what I do. You know, it's just that I think that we shouldn't stop doing certain things. I really believe that.
Yeah.
Because it's
well,
like,
I would say that, because I'm like one of, Marcia, you're up there, and Willow, you're going up there, so I'm one of the low man on the totem pole still right now. And I can tell you that from where I'm at, everyone looks up to you guys.
See, there's no totem pole. I just always feel people are the same. I mean, I really do. And, you know,
I have said that so much, but I'm going to tell you this, that they come back with the craziest. They really do come back with the craziest things, Marcia.
See, well, I just feel that, I just feel like everybody should treat everybody, you know, with respect, no matter who they, you know, who they love. I always have to say that love is love and whatever it is.
You would think that,
right?
Yeah, you would think
that
we'd like it. I want that.
You would think that, but in today's society, it's just not that way, and that's not how people look at it. And I've heard this. I've been in private group discussions when they're like, "Oh my gosh, have you heard Marcia Casper Cook's show?" And she works for blah, you know, she owns blah, blah,
blah. That's nice.
And
that's
have you read Willow's book?
I know.
Right?
You know what? Yeah, I've just been doing it. You know, this is, like, funny because, like, with my whole family, you know, I'm always talking, talking, talking. So now I found somewhere to talk, you know. And it was like, because I think I was that way when I was little. And I think you do kind of, some things you kind of stick with, you know. And you just keep talking. And, you know, and I've just always been wanting people that they should look at people's work, and new authors should get out there because it really, they need new authors, and you really have to keep trying. And that's why I tell people this all the time. I mean, I do sound like a broken record, but I truly believe they shouldn't stop doing things, because had I have stopped, I would never have done the things I did. And I can't sometimes even believe, like you were saying, that you've done certain things. Yeah, we all were brought up one way, but we don't think we're going to do. I never thought I'm doing this ever. I mean, I don't even know if I want. I don't even know. I just never had goals for myself, especially. But I did try a lot of things, though. I don't give up. But I didn't normally set up.
Well, and that's the thing with all of us is that you will see people come onto the scene and they'll literally peter out because they don't realize how hard it is. They don't realize. I mean, people think that writing the book is the hardest thing that you do, and it's seriously not. You market and promote yourself.
That's the easy part.
Yes, that is the easy part. And I'll say this, is that I see her in the chat room. Neely Cab, she just got contracted with Foreign Rights for her book.
That's great.
And she's an amazing friend of mine. And we've talked on the phone. And it's something that you have to, if you have the drive inside of you to do it,
mm-hmm.
you continue to go. You fight for what you
right.
want.
Well,
if this was your child, would you just back down if somebody was going to hurt your child? Of course not. You would continue to fight as a mother.
Right, exactly.
What I keep telling new authors, and good grief, are we so off the subject of ghosts.
Yeah, we're going to have to go back. We should.
What I keep telling everybody, because I inevitably end up in conversations with new authors that are either just publishing their first book or about to or whatever, and I always tell them the same thing. Tell everybody the same thing. If failure is not an option, you won't fail. Get back up, keep going, keep moving. You can't. Listen, I spent the first half of my adult life giving up.
Yeah, I think you know what I
because
think
I didn't know any better, but
yeah,
I don't
just
do it anymore.
Stuff, right. You just do stuff when you're, you know, a young girl, and that's why now it's important that young girls do see strong females. I think it's really great. I think that's one of the good. I don't know. There might be some question. I don't know if somebody. There's one person that might want to do a question. So why don't you just talk and I'll see if they want to, if who they are. And
okay.
They may have a question. Okay.
I guess let's talk about the books that are coming out for all of you guys that love Haunted by Willow Cross. Haunted 2 is coming your way in October in time for Halloween.
I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about Haunted 2 because it's not my stories.
I think they have one more person. Hello.
Hello.
Marcia. Hi, did you want to talk? And did you want to ask a question? No, maybe not. Okay, so we'll put them back on. Okay, because that's what
we
they do to me.
We may have scared people off, Willow.
happens to me? Right, okay, that's all right.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Haunted 2, it isn't my own personal ghost stories. This is going to be a compilation of true ghost stories, true as they are relayed to me, and I believe the people that told them to me, so I believe they're true. But true ghost stories that have happened to other people, and it will be a retelling of the events that occurred to them instead of my own personal, because I think everybody's getting tired of hearing my ghost stories.
Well, no, because...
No, they're not,
you know, because, I mean, I think people really are interested in these things. I mean, because I do think that a lot of people do believe this way, and, you know, it seems like you've had a lot of experience with this.
Yeah, I have.
I don't see them.
I've seen a couple ghosts. I've seen shadows. I've seen two very clearly, two very clear apparitions that were so real that... For the split second I saw them, or second or two, you never know when that's going on, just how long that lasts. It feels like an eternity, that they looked like real, solid human beings. But as far as being able to just see, you know, I can't walk by a graveyard and see people walking around and stuff. I mean, I'm glad, because that would really creep me out. But
Kimberly, Kimberly can though, right? Can you see?
Yeah.
And you shut it off ever? Do you shut it off ever?
I don't know how. Somebody tried to teach me. It was somebody who, according to her, she spoke to angels, and she tried to teach me how to turn it off, and I never could. So I just kind of see them. And it happens at the most inopportune times. It's
but
not
you think
like,
part of you doesn't, part of you likes the way it is, though. Maybe that's why you don't want to really shut
part
it off.
Part of me just, it doesn't. At this point, it doesn't matter anymore because I know. And I'll be completely honest with you: is that part of me is begging for another visit with my mother.
Yeah.
Part of me just wants to see any of my grandparents.
See, you know what? I feel that too, though. I really do feel that, and that's what keeps me going. Is that I feel like because I've lost all these people and I really miss them. And I hope I will see them. I mean, that's how I live my life. I know some people might think this is a little bizarre, but I do feel like I want to see them. I'm not done. You know what I mean? I feel
but
like
you will
I want
see
to see
again.
Them.
And that's the thing, is that you will see them again. And I'm like...
But you may not see them here.
No, right.
No.
That's the thing.
Well, probably, if you don't see spirits, you won't see them here.
Right.
But, like I said, my dad is a Baptist preacher, so he is very much in the mindset, even though he grew up with the Cherokee Indian in his family, and he grew up with the Irish, so he knew the whole path of love. He understood.
Yeah.
People that don't understand, people that are on my page, they know that the Moon Coven series was based after my family. Like, it's based loosely on my family. The Moon name comes from my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother was Carrie Moon. And so things are loosely based on this. So my father understood that. But at the same time, when I tell my dad that my son, who is now 10, will sit upstairs and the rocking chair in his bedroom will rock back and forth, and I will walk up the steps and he is having a conversation. And, Marcia, I mean not like a conversation where he is talking to the TV. I mean he is having a full-on conversation with somebody in that rocking chair that has decided to make themselves unknown to me. And he came to me at 2.5 years old and looked at me. I have a niece and nephew. My nephew is 3 years older than my son, and my niece is 5 years old. I mean, is Kelly 5? Yeah, Kale's 5 years older. They had never mentioned my mother's name or what they called her in front of him. When my mother passed away, I got pregnant with Connor on September 11th, 2001,
wow.
The day the towers fell.
Wow.
Connor was actually due June 11th. He was born May 8th. At 2.5 years old, I went up to his room. There was a rocking chair rocking back and forth. And I am speechless because I can handle it if a spirit is trying to talk to me. I'm a grown adult. I will deal with it. This is a 2.5-year-old child. I do not know how this child is going to handle it.
But
he looked
at
me and said...
So he was talking?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I walked upstairs and he said, Mommy. And I said, what, bud? And he's like, Mare said to tell you she loves you so much. Mare, nobody... My mother's name was Marianne. Nobody. That wasn't Grandma. Mimi.
Was it Marianne?
Mama.
My mother's name was Marianne. Just Marianne, not Marianne, but Marianne.
And it's very. It's not a common name that would be Mare for a grandmother.
No. Mm-mm.
It's not at all. And my son looked at me and said, "Mare said to tell you she loves you, and she's given me kisses."
Wow.
And I remember sitting, like just dropping to the step. And just looking in there and watching this rocking chair rocking back and forth, and my mother not showing herself to me. It took her 7 more years for her to show herself to me.
Really?
And finally, it was kind of one of those things where I could see everyone else. I could see all the Civil War spirits in Gettysburg. I could see anyone who passed away that would come in front of my house. Anybody who has that was even in the proximity of me. That had something they needed to tell a loved one. There is a will here. There is a this. And that's one of the stories in Ghosts of My Past. My great uncle, who is my mother's uncle, had a will that needed to be exposed. Nobody could find it. And at my grandmother's funeral, the way that this happened, my grandmother died. My uncle died November, Thanksgiving. My grandmother died December 15th. At my grandmother's funeral, my uncle, about a week, I want to say a week before, I was in Gettysburg, and he was in the movie Gettysburg. He was one of the reenactors,
wow.
Just an extra, but that's where he lived most of his life, was on the Gettysburg battlefield. He loved it. I went up there and saw him, and he told me to tell my aunt that it wasn't her fault. And there was a situation that happened that I wasn't around when all of this was going on, and I found out later at my grandmother's funeral that he had died on Thanksgiving Day of a massive heart attack, and that right before he died, he and my aunt were having a huge argument, and she blamed herself for the argument, therefore she blamed herself for his death.
I have heard people say things like that, that they do, you know, that if they argue with someone and the person dies, they hold themselves responsible sometimes. And that could ruin the rest of their lives, even if it's probably not true. But that they ruined that the person did maybe died. But the person,
yeah.
The other person, their life is completely ruined because that's all they probably focus on, is that
mm-hmm.
they shouldn't have, you know, and I would assume that they try not to do things to anybody else because they would be scared to do this. I mean, you know, that something would happen to somebody. Because if you fight hard, you know, some people really have very intense arguments.
They do.
When
I can tell you this, that there are lost souls that stay here. There is one thing from the Ghost Whisperer that I can tell you is true, that there are lost souls that are still here. They haven't gone into the light. And it's not because they don't know that they're dead. It's because they have a message to pass on to someone in their family. And that was what we dealt with my uncle. He needed to let my aunt know that she was going to be destitute because he passed away. She was not going to be able to take care of herself if she didn't find this life insurance policy.
Wow.
It totally could. I had not been into my aunt and uncle's new house. I had no clue. At my grandmother's funeral, I told my aunt, I'm like, I don't understand why he didn't tell you this, but he said that behind the General Lee photo, if you pull that portrait out, the safe is behind there, and he keeps showing me these numbers, and there were three numbers, and I gave her the numbers, and that night she found the life insurance policy that was actually for $1 million.
Wow.
My uncle worked for Bethlehem Steel.
Yep, it's a big
Big company.
Yep.
He worked for that company, and she found her life insurance policy, and everything was taken care of. The very next day, she contacted me, and she's like, I feel like your uncle wants your husband to have his reenactment wear. My husband has right now my uncle's Confederate reenactment gear from Gettysburg, and he has it. We have it in a case. It's a wooden and glass case. He never wears it. It's my uncle's stuff, and we have it showcased for everyone to see here in my house. So there are things like that happen.
Yeah, you never know. Things do connect, but sometimes you don't. It doesn't connect right off the bat.
No, not at all. There was one person, a ghost that came to me one time and who told me, who kept telling me about an emerald. It was an emerald. And so when someone tells you about an emerald, Marsha, the first thing you think of is green, right? An emerald.
Yeah.
It was not an emerald. It was an emerald cut diamond that was worth a severe amount of money.
Wow.
And they were trying to let their husband know where their emerald cut diamond was so that he could hold onto that ring so that he could have the money to take care of his kids.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes that is really true, though. When someone does die, and, you know, let's say it's the woman that dies, you know, I mean, I know I have a ton of costume jewelry that's not good, you know. So, you know, and, like, if anybody has that, you know, sometimes you look at something and go, oh, this is good. You don't know a lot of times.
No.
Because some people have found in garage sales and all these things, they come up with a ring or something, you know, because somebody didn't tell somebody that it was really expensive and they just threw it out. Because unfortunately, that's why I say enjoy everything, because when you die, people just get rid of stuff. They don't even look at stuff.
Can I say something to the listeners? Just so you guys know, if you guys ever see somebody who resembles me at a yard sale, it is really me. I do totally yard sale. I love it. And if I'm in another state in the South, I'm with Willow Cross. We're yard selling together.
See, this is the thing.
We could end up in Texas someplace.
See, with me, I'm very superstitious. My grandmother was, my mother was. I mean, really, we grew up this way, and it's kind of like weird because I feel like sometimes if I find something and I don't know whose it is, I don't know what their life was about, and I'm almost afraid to wear it or do it, use it, because I'm thinking, what if it's something bad?
But then you're thinking about the possessed portion of it, and that's not haunted is a different thing. People
yeah.
keep looking at things that are haunted,
mm-hmm.
and they group them together with demonic. Will and I both know that they are two separate entities in and of themselves. Somebody who is haunted, who is stuck here on Earth, that is an earthbound spirit, most times they don't know what's going on. They don't even know that they're dead. They're trying to get their way back home. If they do know that they're dead, they have decided that playing tricks on you is really fun because they don't know how to get to the light. Demonic, you will know the difference in demonic. And if something that you pick up from a yard sale is demonic, dude, so get rid of it. If I were you, burn
I don't
that
do crap. That. See, that's the thing. I like to know whatever, like, you know, I'm always, like, I'd rather buy something new because I'm afraid if I put something on that something bad happened to somebody, it'll happen to me. I am very superstitious. I grew up that way. But I think sometimes you grow up a certain way. I have a lot of superstitions. And one of them is Friday the 13th. I always wear pennies on Friday the 13th. I don't know. I make like a little, you know what? Do you know why someone would do that?
I take tape.
And I put pennies and make it a bracelet. And I wear
it. My family was Lutheran and Catholic, and they do things.
Why would you do
they
that?
Do.
I mean, I don't know. I've been doing it forever, so
it's
every year I do it.
It's superstitious. It's just like when you go to Blarney Castle, kissing the Blarney Stone, it brings you luck.
Yeah.
Every woman who is married, and I was not, just so you guys know, I was not married in Ireland. I was married in Baltimore, Maryland. But every Irish woman is supposed to have a clada as her wedding band. And when you have that clada, when you're married, the point of the heart is supposed to face towards your heart, and the crown of it is supposed to face out towards your nail. It's just, it's superstition. It's things that have been passed on.
And that is really, it's really tough a lot of times because, you know, I find myself doing things and I go, like, what am I doing? But I'm going like, well, I have to do this because, you know, we just grow up a certain way. And I
are
really
you in the, when you're in the kitchen on Friday the 13th, do you toss salt behind your back?
Yes. I toss salt behind my back.
Right.
Even my son, I got him like, now we do, like if we're at a table, even if it's pepper, I push it, I toss it over my shoulder. And if I, you know, if somebody's, if you sneeze, I don't know, I touch my ear. I have no clue why I did that.
I have never heard that in my life.
I wrote a screenplay, 1313 Lakeshore Drive, with Jeff Fleischer. He still is my editor. So, like, it was a horror movie, so we were putting all these superstitions. He's looking at me. I said, no, seriously, this is how I grew up. I can't help it. You know, I mean, and we do. I have that. And it's weird. You're right, with the salt. Even if, I'm telling you, it's something we all do. I guess it's just superstition that you don't get rid of, though. Even when you're little. You know, I hear my mother's words, don't put an umbrella on the bed, don't put it in the house, don't put shoes, you know. And if somebody gives you a pearl, you have to give them a penny. God knows where I have all this, and I do.
Oh, my mother just said the same thing. Let me ask you a question. Okay, if you guys or any of you are out there in the chat room listening, cover your kids' ears right now if they're up, because I know some of them are out of school. You guys got them covered? Perfect. That's like Christmas. We're adults. Do we still make sure that Santa Claus comes?
Yeah.
It's a tradition. It's something that we do. It's just gonna happen. The Easter Bunny. You know, my son's at that age where he's like, Mom, really? A 6-foot-tall bunny carrying around jelly beans?
Right.
Seriously? I don't think that's going to happen. We have these traditions, and I'm lucky enough to, I can count my best friends on 3 fingers, and I have 3 of them. My husband, who is upstairs, my best friend, Char, who's in Virginia Beach, and my best friend, Will, who's on the phone with me right now. I have another very close friend, Sabrina Ford. I can tell them anything. They know that when I tell them that there's a superstition that I have in my head, Friday the 13th, I don't leave my house. I don't want to pass a black cat. I don't want to go under a ladder. I'm not going to do it.
But you think it's still, you feel safe.
It's still, I was bred with it inside of me, and that's like right now. Willow, if my personal assistant, Jenny Needham, was anywhere around right now, she could verify because I had her on Skype earlier. But Willow knows this because I've posted the pictures. Willow, what is my house decorated right now?
Halloween.
My entire house is on the inside, not on the outside, people, because I'm not that crazy. On the inside is decorated like Halloween because all of my books are paranormal, so I have to write. That's superstition for me. If my house is decorated in any way like spring, well, then I have to write like the fairies. Okay. And I can't write vampires and witches.
I guess this is probably how we... I guess it is, so people don't think it is how you're brought up. I guess it is.
It is. It's very much how you're brought up, and you will constantly... Remember this, the traditions that you have as a child, Christmas. If your mother made for Christmas dinner, if your mother made beef Wellington, what are you likely to make for Christmas dinner?
Yeah,
beef Wellington.
Even the movies are like that. The movies, well, because the people that write the movies,
oh my God,
they're superstitious too. Yeah, because you can see that, right, it's all the scenes in the movies. I mean, this is very interesting how, you know, I mean, that's the thing. There are a lot of people like us out there that feel certain ways, you know, and I get there's tons of people like that, though, I'm sure, but it does stay with us no matter if we try for it. You know, it's something I have to do. And Friday the 13th, whatever it means to everybody, it does mean something to people because they wouldn't keep talking about it.
It does, because everybody has something that they believe in. I mean, even if you – this is the way I look at it. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you're a Baptist. I don't care if you're Catholic, and I don't care if you're a Wiccan. Everybody, in my opinion, believes in a higher power. There is a higher power somewhere that's controlling everything that's going on. There you go. I don't care who it is.
I actually believe that. I do think there is. You know, that's why I always say, you know, like I say, talk to God, because, you know, they say, I want this to happen. I go, well, what can I tell you? You got to talk to God, because we all say that because it's really not up to us.
Saying that. And we had a discussion on my page a couple of weeks ago about, on my Facebook page, they were talking about different things with the vampire thing, and I'm like, but you guys have to remember that they were talking about witches, and in the Bible it actually says this in Exodus 20:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Something was going on there, and they're like, oh, well, my family's religion and our tradition is we don't believe in witches, so for Halloween we don't even decorate because that's against our religion. No matter what your religion is, everyone has something that they believe in and they don't believe in. I personally say, you know what, I don't think witches are evil, whatever. People do believe witches are evil, and they're
The good witch.
Exactly.
We are.
And that's what it is that everybody has a different tradition, everybody has a different belief.
Yeah.
And I'm just very open to all of them and just say, okay, believe whatever you want to believe. Just believe my thing. And Willow will tell you this, just believe in something.
Yeah, I don't care what you believe in, just
believe in something.
Yeah, I think it's good to
believe
in
something.
People
that have no beliefs at all make me very nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Seriously, because the truth is, it is, you have to believe in something because, you know, and that's one of the reasons people do like angels is because they just want to believe that somebody's there to help them. And sometimes we need help in a situation that we're upset with, and you call for somebody. And that's a lot of times when people probably dream of people that are in their family because sometimes they need them.
But I don't believe that they're not angels out there. And this is, I was raised Catholic, and then later on in life found out about my family's Wiccan heritage. Yeah. I very much believe in God. I very much believe in a goddess, and I very much believe in angels. And I believe that those angels are around us watching us at all times.
Yeah.
I really do. If not, think about it. Think about how many times that you could have almost, when you stepped out into the street, you could have gotten hit.
Yeah.
Or just different things that could have happened to you. I really believe that there are angels out there, and I thank whoever is the higher calling above us.
I agree. These are topics that are very interesting. I think, you know, we probably should end the show soon, but I would like to do another one. Maybe we'll do one every month or something, you know, now that we've got into this. This is a very interesting subject. And, you know, there might want to be other people that want to join in this. Because I do think there's a lot of people that want to talk about these things, you know, because it does bother people.
Yeah. There was somebody that was trying to...
Yeah, there's somebody in the chat room has a question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, LM. She's trying to get through.
Does she want to come on the line?
Yeah, she wants to come on and talk, but she's trying to get through. I've gotten a couple of Facebook messages that I'm trying to...
Well, I have somebody here. What is her area code? Does she say... Is 443...
She's in Washington, D.C., because she's close to me.
Yeah, so what would 44... I have... The only person that's on here beside us is a 443. I don't know if that's... Let's see. She called in, because sometimes blog talk is...
She's 443.
Oh, she is? Okay.
She said it's me.
All right, okay,
she's
okay,
saying
okay.
It's me.
Okay. Hello?
Oh, hi, can
Marcia.
You guys hear me?
Yes, we
I
can.
I can hear you.
Yeah, we can.
Oh, hi.
Okay.
Hi, Anita. Oh, my goodness. This is so funny because Willow and I talk about this all the time, and I am a traditional, I won't say Baptist, but I do, you know, have a strong belief in God, and I talked to Willow about all my crazy experiences. we giggle about
Everybody
it.
Everybody talks to me about their crazy.
Yeah.
It's because I'm crazy, so what am I going to do, laugh?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, this could be why everybody gets along.
Yeah. And I told Willow, I don't know if you even remember me telling you about the experience I had when I did the yoga in Mexico.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What did you do in Mexico?
Tell them about it.
Well, I went to Mexico, and I've always been spiritually aware, sensitive. But it was kind of something, you know, you just put in the back of your mind, you notice it, or you have these experiences, and you just kind of collect them. But when I was in Mexico, I decided for the first time to do yoga. And it was beautiful. We were in Puerto Vallarta, and
sounds nice.
I love the way you say that.
Yeah,
it was
sounds
gorgeous.
Better than Chicago. I'll tell you that.
Oh yes, it was probably one of the most beautiful places we stayed, and they had us doing yoga off of a cliffside that looked out to the ocean, and I was in the back. I came to the yoga class late because I always kind of had this reservation about yoga. But I thought, all right, well, they're just doing, you know, I asked a woman that was in the back of the class because I wanted to be behind her. And I asked her, you know, they're just doing yoga here, no meditation or anything like that. She said, oh, no, absolutely not. I said, oh, great. So we did the yoga, and then after the yoga, they led us in to do the meditation. So I was getting ready to leave because I was like, oh, I'm not doing this.
Right.
The guy running the yoga class looked directly to me, and he said, I want you next to me.
Ooh.
Hello.
And I'm thinking, he knows. He knows. Something's up. So I'd never done it before, but we sat in a circle and we went into a meditated state, and I swear to you, I felt as though my spirit had left my body. And
that's what it's supposed to do, though. I think you're supposed to do this. That's how relaxed you are to get to your brain.
You're supposed to do it, but the problem with doing it is others know that you're not in your body.
Really?
Yeah.
And I had a feeling that I needed to get back to where I was supposed to be.
Wow.
And I felt like I was being in a vacuum, you know, like something was sucking me up.
Wow.
And so I just kept praying and praying and praying, and then I felt like a whoosh and a pop, and I was, you know, I opened my eyes, and I jerked my hand away from that guy and flew. And, you know, it was very scary because I knew that for a person that is, you know, and it's funny because I talk about that part because Willow, you know, she read one of my paranormal series, and I don't know if she remembers the part when the psychic is being used as that kind of channeling.
Yeah.
And that's where that particular part of the story comes from because of that experience, I felt as though anybody could have, you know, I was empty. I wasn't in my body, so.
Was that like the only time that ever happened? Was that the only time it ever happened?
That was the only time it ever happened, but I think like Willow and Kim are saying, you have an awareness that you know it could happen. Because I don't think you can be a spiritually sensitive, aware person and not know the possibilities or the limitations or
yeah.
or what you're working with within yourself.
Does it,
you know,
does it scare you kind of to get involved? Does it scare you in a way to not want to, you know, have that happen to you more?
I would never
are
do
you,
that.
Yeah.
I would never do that again because
you didn't like the way it felt.
It was a very scary feeling. It was
yeah.
like I knew I had to get back. It was,
yeah.
you know, and I knew I had. It was like something was telling me I had to get back, or something else could go there.
Yeah.
Well, and
yeah.
you know what that tells me is that LM is very much a spirit sensitive person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they do, you'll see like at different Indian reservations and stuff, they'll see spirit lodges where they're taking
mm-hmm.
your spirit on a journey. That is not something
right.
I would recommend for Lanita, because if she felt like she had to get back to her, some people, and I don't know if you've seen, like watched, there are some people that have spirits that other spirits are very attracted to, and it sounds like hers is one of them.
Wow.
Is they will come into her body. She's if you don't know Ellen Preston like we do, she is a very fun, energetic, lighthearted, loving person. That is exactly the type of person that another spirit would try to get, would try to take over, would try
right.
to get into.
Wow.
So I can completely understand why her spirit had to rush back.
Ellen, we have to have you. I have to have you on a show, Ellen. You have to email me. We have to have you on a show. This is interesting. What are your books, so we could know at least what your books are?
Well, I do the. I have the Pack series out. I have Bandits out. I have a short story.
Don't forget the Explorer.
Okay.
The Explorer series, because her book. This is no joke, Marsha. Her books. Her Explorer series is what got Connor, my son, reading again. I mean,
okay.
seriously reading. She was amazing. Explorer? She sent
okay.
him every one of, yes. Oh, my gosh, that's all I've heard about for the past 2 weeks. Mom,
well, and
you
her pack
email
series?
Ms. Lanita.
Willow, should we talk about, what, because we probably have to get off soon, but Willow, do you want to talk about the young adults, you know, because... just so people know where you're going to be, you know, with the, you're going to be speaking, and Kimberly,
oh,
you're going to be there.
Lanita,
yeah.
you're going to be there too, right?
All three of us, LM and Kim
yes.
and I, are all going to the
yeah.
convention and speaking. And it's in Nashville, Tennessee, the 6th, 7th, and 8th of July. It is not just a writer's convention. It's female paranormal, YA female paranormal writers. And it's a fan/author convention. So if you're just a fan and you want to come hang out in Nashville, go ahead. We're going to set up a Facebook party. I think we're trying to get into like a Hard Rock Cafe or something.
Yeah.
For in the evening to have like a meet and greet with the fans and hang out. And we can talk ghosts or vampires or whatever y'all want to talk about.
Witches over here.
And we're going to have... We're just going to have a good time. It's going to be awesome. I think
right.
we're all on the same panel, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think we all are.
I think we're all on the same panel. So
yeah.
So we'll be speaking Saturday at
and it is
10?
It is the hottest market. The young adult is a huge market. Huge.
Yeah, and the,
yeah.
It is a growing. I mean, I just came from BEA. I had a signing there, and there were librarians on the hunt for young adult. And the funny thing was, I was very disappointed because my name was not put in the program. And
see, you know,
so
I got all this stuff. I never knew I signed up for it, and I decided not to go, but then I got everything now. They said, why wouldn't, you know, I didn't get come there. I was going to go, and then I decided, I didn't even know if they actually were going to take, and I guess I was on the list because I got all this information now. So was it good? Did you learn a lot there?
I've learned an immense amount of,
yeah.
I mean, the networking is phenomenal.
Yeah.
We talked to someone about selling our rights there. We also networked with other agents that I had known or booked events with. Got to see some other authors that R.L. Stine was there. But
oh,
one
yeah?
thing I want to say was it was, you know, because I write male POV and point of view, and Kim, I know you have a son.
Uh-huh.
And I was
floored.
Well, that's the hardest for people. That's the hardest book genre because the boys, it's very tough to get boys to read.
Well,
boys.
Let me just,
yeah.
Can I cut in here for a second? Because I have a 10-year-old who just turned 10, and LM sent him the books, and that's all I've heard. And I can say this, that Harvest Moon, the next book, the next novella, came out as a male point of view.
Mm-hmm.
LM, you're like my god.
Yeah.
Because
that's, well,
I
yeah,
don't know how, LM is, Harvest Moon is written in a male's point of view, a 17-year-old male's point of view from the 70s. I have no clue how she does this on a regular basis. It kills me.
Yeah. See, that's, I mean, because it is, it's a very, it's great that the boys are reading. You know, Willow, what's the book that Kimberly was just talking about? Do I have that book yet, the one that you wanted me to read? Is that one out?
Oh, A Higher Calling?
Is that
Higher Calling?
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
No, that one just came out, Mark.
Yeah, that
it
must
just
be the one.
Out,
that must be the one that I took. I don't have a. I don't see it right now. I'm like, but I. That's the one they said I already got. So I must have just got that. Okay.
This is the Higher Calling is the one that everyone that I've talked to so far that's read it, because I read it when it was still in before editing and stuff.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you, this is the type of book that will turn. It makes girls empowered. It makes women empowered.
Okay, yeah,
it makes you
okay.
strong. You take responsibility. You take yeah. control of your situation. You leave it to no man.
Yeah.
And it is amazing.
That is a problem for a lot of women. That is a problem for a lot of women, especially, you know.
It is.
Especially if they get divorced or something, they end up going, you know, to marry mm-hmm. somebody maybe that they don't even love. They just go with them because they don't want to be, you know, to deal with everything themselves.
Can I just say this?
Right.
I don't understand. I learn things every day from LM and from Willow because
yeah.
LM can write from a perspective of a teenage, from a mid-teen boy, and she has it down to the point where a 10-year-old child understands all of it and gets it and is so excited and enthused about reading again. And
I think it's really good because it is
that,
very tough to get boys. Really, it's really
hard. They are the hardest market to get to, and Ellen's got it.
The young adult market, the publishing on my own has been very helpful because Willow knew me when, you know, I started this journey. But,
go back a long way.
And it allows me the freedom to have all the things that they say never do. You don't want to have multiple point of views in a book. You don't want to have a lot of characters. Well, almost all of my books have a lot of characters.
I write that way, too. I write that way, too. When I do screenplays, I have a lot of characters. That's just how I write. That's how my life is, you know. Like
exactly.
I talk to a lot of people. I think people – do you talk to a lot of people when you're – like I talk to people. My husband's like going crazy half the time. We're in a restaurant. I know everybody in the restaurant. I'm talking to everybody.
Exactly.
I enjoy that. I love it. I love that.
And not only that, but, you know, people that don't necessarily have that many friends when they're reading, they get to assume the character,
yeah.
and they have those friends. They become friends to them. And it has to be, you have to nail it to the point where the dialogue of each person is such that if you just read their dialogue, you'd know who they were.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, LM, is that you do, and I'll tell you why, because we were going to let Connor send you a private message because my 10-year-old got his own computer now. We were going to let him send you a message. The last day of school, he stood up and read the last page of Explorer Alpha to the class, that his all-time favorite book.
Wow.
So you have a 10-year-old
who
stood up in front of the entire class to tell
that's
them
awesome.
His favorite book was Explorer Alpha.
That's really good. It really is. You know what? This has been such a good show. I have so much to think about now. I'll never go to sleep.
I can't believe I've talked this much.
The longest show in the history of Blog Talk, probably.
Let me tell you something. I have not had one this long. But this was very interesting. It's Friday night. That's what it is. What
this
else?
This is
right?
the
now,
place to be, is Marsha's place on Friday nights.
Yeah. Well, okay, Ashley's not having her show, but then Bennett is. But we could still have a show later on. We could do like a late show like we're having right now. This was fun. I really enjoyed this, and I want to thank, you know, well, Ellen, it was really nice meeting you, too. And this has been so good. Kimberly, did you enjoy yourself? And Willow?
I
yes?
did. I
good.
Was so nervous at first, but you're so cool, Marsha, so it just all went cool.
I'm just loose. What can I do? too.
No, you're cool. You're not loose. You're cool.
I hope that Lindsay went to sleep.
Yeah, she said goodnight to everybody.
Yeah, oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah, like an hour ago, she told us all goodnight.
Before you guys go, say your website so that everybody knows who you are again. Ellen, as long as you're on the phone, just go ahead. Give your website and your blog.
www.lmpreston.com. Have a new book coming out, thanks to Willow, being my favorite reader.
Willow, look how helpful you are, Willow, there. Really good.
I know.
Embarrassing the crap out of me.
Yeah.
She is wonderful, and I don't let her fool you, because I wait on bated breath for her stuff.
Yeah.
So,
well, she's got enough. She's got a lot of stuff out there. She's got a lot of
stuff.
You should see what's in my head. That's the scary stuff.
Mine too. That's what
that is
people want to know. I know.
Okay, Willow should be last so that everybody can remember her stuff. So I'm Kimberly Burks Miller, KYMBERLEE Burks, BURKS, Miller, MILLER, .weebly.com. You can find all of my links from there. And Willow is my mentor.
Yeah, she's getting to be a lot. Willow, you're a lot of people's mentor. That's a great thing. I think that's really good.
And I'm willowcrossbooks.weebly.com.
Okay.
And all my links are there. And thanks, everybody, for coming
and
hanging out with us.
Thank you. It's been really great for all the people in the chat room. It's been really good. You know, I'm just talking to everybody. That's why I don't go in the chat room too much. I don't want to lose my train of thoughts. what can I tell you? All right. And you can always find all of our shows on www.worldofinc.network, and we're also on iTunes. And this has been a great show, and we are going to have another one soon because this was fun. Okay?
This is awesome.
All right. Have a good weekend. All right. Take care,
everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.